If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with comedian Anthony Atamanik, and then a special guest weighs in on Anthony's appearance backstage at Studio AG. Then Seth talks to comedian Brian Posehn, who also takes a few more extra questions. Now let's go to Seth Meyers and Anthony Atamanik.
Our guest is a comedian and actor you know from his work as Donald Trump on Comedy Central's The President Show. His new book, American Tantrum, the Donald J. Trump Presidential Archives, is available now. Please welcome back to the show our friend Anthony Atamanik, everybody.
Thank you.
I am so happy to have you here. So, one, it's wonderful that you wrote a book.
Yes.
Two, because it is by far my favorite Donald Trump impression, you also did it as an audiobook.
I did it as an audiobook. I always say that we basically conned HarperCollins into letting us do a comedy album.
Yeah.
A six-hour comedy album.
And you wrote it with Neil Casey,
yes.
Who's a very funny person as well.
Great writer, former SNL writer.
Former SNL writer and a fantastic improviser.
Yeah, brilliant improviser.
Did you have to, because you've sort of lived in Donald Trump's skin for a long time.
For too long. I should sit like him, right? I should sit like this.
Yeah.
Just ass pushed as far back as possible.
What do you think in his head brings him to that posture?
I think somewhere when he was like 10 or 12, Fred Trump was like, sit like a man. And like, he went like this and that was it. And
yeah.
He sat. I think everything with Trump has been programmed whenever in Queens from like 12. And
yeah.
That's it.
And then he just locked it in.
He
and
locked
that's
it in.
Who it is.
Yeah.
So because you've lived in his skin, did you have to go back well, we should say the conceit of this book is that a golf writer.
Yes, from it's called Golf and Stream Magazine.
Golf and Stream Magazine.
All the best streams near the best golf courses.
Okay.
His name is Kelsey Nelson, and he's our fictitious author who Trump met at Mar-a-Lago at one point. And then later on, Trump says, hey, why don't you come to the Oval Office and work with me and cover the Oval Office and write a book? And we did this before Michael Wolff's book came out. Before Fire and Fury, we came up with this.
So you already wrote that. And did you go back and look through old transcripts of Trump speeches? You didn't have to do that.
No. Much like the president, I like to be completely unprepared for everything that I do.
Very smart.
What I like to think is, you know, improv is never done well when you, like, if you film improv, it immediately dies, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no quality to it. So, this, to me, is the closest you'll capture to improvisation because we transcribed our interactions. So I would play Trump, Neil would play the different various characters, and then we just transcribed them and then edited them. But that's only part of the book. We have other written parts. Like, we have Steve Bannon's Dan Brown-style fiction novel excerpts and stuff like that.
As he would do.
Yeah, and General Kelly's. We did, like, a George Washington's Guide to Manners, but it's General Kelly's, like, passive-aggressive requests for Trump to stop. Like, you know, it's like, one is like, a president shall always put his pants on before greeting dignitaries. So we did that. And then when we did the audiobook, we actually recorded it in the studio where Steely Dan recorded all their albums.
Wow, that makes total
sense. Pretty cool for the young crowd. And people are like, Steely Dan, like, what is that? Like a new, like, robot vacuum? And how do I order it? And but it's 4 hours, and it's like 10 hours a day. But we got Tom Arnold to play Michael Cohen.
That's
great.
Which was
crazy. We got Kathy Griffin to do Stormy Daniels and Kellyanne Conway. Yep. Lennon Parham playing a variety of a NASA astronaut, and John Gemberling from Broad City, and Neil, myself.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Did you? Is this true that when you were young, you actually read the Nixon transcripts?
Yeah.
What brought that about?
My parents had like a little bookshelf in the hall. When you entered the house, it was always the strangest place to have a bookshelf. It's like on the way out of the house.
Yeah.
And there was a large volume of the Nixon transcripts, and I was like 10 or 11, and I had heard about Nixon, you know, he was this crook and all that, and I was like, I want to read them. And so I would take them out, and I would sit in the living room, and I would just read through the transcripts, and I found them hilarious. I thought, this guy's so insane.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, just, like, racist and foul-mouthed. And I was like, this guy was the president? This is impossible. This could never happen again.
How has your Trump evolved over the years?
I think when I first started doing it, I liken it to maybe, like, you know, the Stern, Howard Stern's movie? How he started really high-pitched when he was doing radio.
Yeah.
I feel like when I started doing Trump, I was very much like doing him like this. And like, I mean, who's the gold standard, you know, is Daryl Hammond.
Sure.
And Daryl's the gold standard for doing Trump. And so, you know, like anyone, when he started doing it, I think I pulled from there and tried to, I didn't think I was going to do any of this. Yeah. I thought I was going to do this in a basement and theater in New York and be done. And so as I studied it, I think... what's happened is he's changed. So he's gotten away. He has like three modes. He has soft mode, soft Trump, soft and gentle, and we keep it easy. And then there's Louis Armstrong Trump, which is from rallies, where he's like, oh boy, we're gonna do it, we're gonna blah, 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 lock her up. And so. There's another mode.
Who
cares?
I mean, now obviously the President's show, which was a show I adored.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah. sadly, not coming back. Yes. Do you miss it? Do you want to in the moment now? I could just throw you out a few press conference questions and get a little Trump for you.
Would you mind? We could improvise a little bit. Sure.
How do you feel? Are you worried today with the indictment of Michael Cohen that this could lead back to you now? I mean, he specifically named you in court.
No, Michael, first off, individual one isn't me, okay? That's an individual, and he's one guy. He's one guy, we don't know who he is, and Michael was talking to him. I don't know who he is. I'll never know him. I'll never know individual one. No matter how hard I stare into the mirror, I'll never know him. I'll never really know him. Melania says she knows him. What's the next question?
The next question is,
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, now, obviously, I don't need to tell you this, but Democrats took back control of the House, and now, you know, they have...
Excuse me. They took the House, we took the Senate.
Yeah.
And I told Chuck, and I told Nancy the other day, and they were at me from both sides. They were spit-roasting me with questions, and...
Well, I would just say, you know, if I could, Mr. President, you say you took the Senate. You had the Senate.
I had the Senate, and I took it back.
you lost the House. You had the House. You lost the House.
I never really lost the House because the House always wins. And we know that from a casino. We know it from a casino with a great Joe Pesci, and he gets put in that ditch, and that's going to happen to Don Jr. if he messes up, I'll tell you that.
Can I throw out some names of some potential 2020 opponents, maybe?
You can give me anybody you want. They're all going to lose. Okay. And even if I lose, I promise you, I will not concede.
Okay. What about Beto O'Rourke? A lot of people are talking about Beto O'Rourke.
Beto. Guy's a Beto male. He's a total Beto male. And he's a lanky guy, and he's got a big old neck apple. You know that neck apple?
Yeah, the Adams. Yeah.
The neck apple. And Eve took a bite from the neck apple, and then the whole thing was screwed. So we can't have that guy.
Elizabeth Warren.
Snake.
Elizabeth Warren?
Pocahontas. Elizabeth Warren took the bait. I don't know. Let me tell you, as I know a good guy named Anthony from Massachusetts who would say, never let someone from Massachusetts run for president, ever. Doesn't anyone remember Dukakis? Dukakis? Exactly.
What about Cory Booker?
Bookum, Dano. Let me tell you about Cory Booker. Guy's bald, big bald guy, and he likes the ladies. We all know that. He likes the ladies. Booker, he's got a big mouth, and he used to jump over there. He used to drive a car. T.J. Booker. Tough guy, T.J. Booker. And that guy totally resurrected his career from Star Trek. So unbelievable.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Would you?
It's frightening.
Every now and then,
yeah,
someone would say to me, hey, if would you want to have the president on this show? And the thing I would say is it wouldn't matter. There's this idea that there's a good interview out there with him where he'll actually answer the questions that are asked. Would you ever, though, like to, as him, interview him? Do you think that you could maybe?
You know, I've never thought. I guess on my show, we had this same question. And mind you, he was never going to come
sure,
to our
it's
show.
Sure, right.
But we did have Deepak Chopra. So the point being... I don't think that the value in interviewing him is only for your own benefit, right? Like, for your own humor benefit. You're not going to get information from him. You're not going to get anything new.
Yeah.
And to me, you just serve a platform for him to peacock more. And I think that the greatest sort of or most bizarre thing is that we're still 3 years in trying to calculate what the pieces that we're missing about him, especially in the media and his coverage. And it's like, there is no there. I mean, I might have said this before, but it's like, this is Chauncey Gardner, like,
yeah,
times a thousand, which is from being there, which, if, yeah, you know.
It's put it on with your Steely Dan.
We're on your Steely Dan. And then get a rotary telephone and call your grandmother. I just don't think there's any value. And I think that the thing is, you know, like a tumor, which our president is a tumor on democracy, we need to cut the oxygen off.
Yeah.
And the way you cut the oxygen off is stop focusing on him.
Yeah.
There's so many important things. This is the only thing I say. There's so many things that are important that both sides need to deal with. And especially I speak to the left, which is we need to think about the issues that aren't as sexy as sort of like the marquee things of taking down Trump. You know, tort reform, for instance. I know no one wants to talk about it, but people's rights in court are being taken away by corporations every day. And we have Amazon moving to New York very soon. And arbitration is the name of the game when it comes to trying to sue a business for money. These are real things that affect people, right? How we employ people, keeping children in prison. Those things matter, and they're not interesting, and they don't stay on the bill every day. And prosecuting the president over a long-form period on cable news isn't going to do anything. But we can do things every day that matter by changing our behavior and how we interact with people in our lives. That's more important than interviewing the president.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And thank you for being here, buddy. It is always just such a pleasure to see you.
I was too
thrilled.
Thank you so much.
Anthony Atamanik, everybody. American Tantrum is available now.
Hey, this is Kevin from Late Night. We're backstage with Anthony Atamanik, who is going to take a few more questions in character as Trump.
Have we started? You didn't recognize me? I'm the most recognizable guy in the whole country, maybe the world. You're saying you got surprised to see me? Wow, whoa!
You're backstage here. You just saw the interview with Anthony Atamanik. And Seth, what did you think of the interview?
Well, I was wandering around this beautiful building, 30 Rock. It's a great television show. And so incredible. And I wandered in here and I saw this interview. I saw Seth talking to this weird, doughy-faced Jewish Italian boy. And I said, whoa, this guy is an idiot. But then I heard him talk. I went, this guy's brilliant because he sounds just like me.
Now, you saw Seth at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011.
Total disgrace. It was a terrible night. First off, they didn't offer a white meat course. They only had the beef, the red meat, and the fish, but I like white meat, white meat, white meat. And I would chant it. I'd go, I want white meat, you know, because it's the most powerful meat. White meat, chicken and pork, white power meat, the best meat. And so they didn't have any of that. And then Seth gets up there and I'm like, oh, this guy, he looks so lanky and soft. And I was like, this will be easy. This guy, he'll just pitch softballs the whole night. And then he got to me on the table and I was so disgusted. And I said, look, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Wait till Obama gets up there and he'll totally bomb. And Obama didn't bomb because he didn't bomb Syria. He drew that red line. He didn't do anything. But I didn't like how he made fun of my hair or my job. And quite frankly, he was very rude. And I sat there. And as I sat there, I folded further and further into myself. And I said, I'm so angry. I'm so enraged. This is like when mother used to yell at me in the kitchen and she'd push my face in the milk because I spilled the cereal on the floor. And she pushed my face in the milk, but I spilled it on purpose because I wanted mommy's attention. And it was the only way I could get it. And then finally, I went, Mother! Out loud. But no one heard me because everyone was laughing at Seth's jokes. And that's when I knew I'd run for president, Mother. Didn't.
Now, a lot of people do impressions of you. What do you think of those impressions?
They're all so terrible. First off, you got Daryl Hammond. And this guy, Alec Baldwin, star of 30 Rock. Incredible show. Incredible show. And so then this guy comes along and he's like, oh, I'm Donald Trump, and what are you doing? Vladimir Putin. And it's like totally not right. It doesn't make any sense. It's very inaccurate.
Now, you haven't worked in TV since The Apprentice. Do you miss working in show business?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? The White House is a total shithole. They have no craft service anywhere, okay? You have to order out from McDonald's. And I have to go through security. By the time you get a fish fillet, the thing's basically cold. That's why I always order the really hot McDonald's coffee, and then I pour it on the fish fillet to warm it back up. Boy, coffee stewed haddock. Yeah, don't knock it till you try it. And I love the cameras, and I loved all the people, and I love sitting at the table with my beautiful, beautiful daughter Ivanka at my right-hand side. So beautiful. She never got a seat, so I got the best view, if you know what I mean. And then that old guy to the other side, who reminded me of impending death. And then I would sit there and I'd go, hey, Captain Lou Albano, you're fired. And I can't do that anymore, because Captain Lou Albano's dead.
Thank you so much for being backstage and spending some time with us.
Because I've been going the entire time.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you for the balance. I yield the balance of my time in the Senate.
Before we move on, we hope you noticed a special bonus episode of the Late Night Podcast in your feed today. Inspired by his favorite investigative podcast journalist, Fred Armisen goes behind the scenes at Studio AG to learn some hidden truths. Look for the Late Nightly, available now.
Is an Emmy-nominated writer and comedian you know from shows like The Big Bang Theory, A New Girl, and The Sarah Silverman Program. His book, Forever Nerdy, Living My Dorky Dreams and Staying Metal, is out now. Please welcome to the show, Brian Posehn, everybody.
Nice.
Show, Brian.
They meddled it up for me.
They
that
did.
Was very nice.
Well,
I'll
you
take
know,
it.
Yeah. They know, who, they know who you are, man. This is about how you grew up a nerd. Is this an actual photo of you as a kid, too?
That is,
that's
sadly.
Fantastic.
You like that 70s bowl haircut?
I like the 70s bowl haircut. I like that you could match the T-shirt. You have a 9-year-old now.
Yes, I do.
Is he, how's he growing up? Is he living that nerd life?
He has no choice, man.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen with half of me in him.
Yeah.
He's gonna be at least half a nerd.
But are you hopeful for that? Do you feel like that is a path you... embrace?
Yeah, well, people love nerds now. It's not the 70s anymore. But I haven't pushed anything on him. I've been, like, kind of passive. I just play, you know, I just introduce him to these things, and I don't say you have to like this. The big one for me was the band Rush. I love heavy metal, and I love all this stuff, but I love Rush more than anything. Rush is my all-time favorite band. So one day we were in the car listening to Tom Sawyer, and he's heard Rush his whole life, but he goes, hey, Dad, you know, I think Rush is my favorite band. And I, like, start to tear up. And my wife is like, you dork. But I'm just afraid that it's gonna, you know, I want him to still think I'm cool, and I'm worried about when he's gonna rebel against me.
Yeah.
Because he's just gonna go, you know, Rush sucks. Stephen King is terrible. You're not funny. And I'm gonna start a Sublime tribute band and become a conservative. I hope you're cool with it. I'll still love you, my little right-wing Sublime tribute band boy.
It'll be hard. It'll be hard, but you'll still love him. Yeah. You're tall.
Yes.
Did that not help as a kid?
I was always a little tall, but I got really tall after high school.
Mm-hmm.
I grew 8 inches in 1 year from 18 to 19.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't even know that could happen. I had literal growing pains, like American Werewolf in London, where I'm just, my arms extending while I'm sleeping. And, it was terrible. And then I turned into Hodor.
You got Hodor.
But if I would have been Hodor size in high school, I would have definitely used it to my advantage.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have been putting bullies through walls. Like, who'd you call a queer bait? Hodor.
Like, did you ever?
I would have saved other nerds just running through the school. Hodor, Hodor, Hodor.
Did you ever tussle with other nerds? Were there ever nerd fights?
Sadly, yes. I got beaten up by everybody. I was the lowest at the school. I got beaten up by a girl. I got beaten up by a special ed kid. And then I got in a nerd fight in my neighborhood I was the heavy metal nerd in my neighborhood. And my friend Ian was the punk rock nerd. And one day we decide we're going to fight. We're both sophomores. And he's mad at me. I think maybe because I wanted to bang his stepsister. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's a long time ago. Blurry. But he decides we're going to fight. We both decide we're going to fight. I don't want to do this. I can't fight. I've never thrown a punch. Still haven't. And so we're fighting, and everybody wants to see the nerd fight. So they're all around us in a circle at my bus stop in the gravel, and we take our glasses off. Both nerds.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens. And then we go at it, but there's, like, no real punches thrown. Like, a lot of, like, half-hugging and shoving and, like... Like, stop and don't, you know. It's all me making the weird noises. And I'm humiliated. Like, I hate school every day, but this is, like, the lowest. I want this to end so badly. So his glasses fall off out of his jacket. And I'm like, oh, man, this is a dick move, but this is how I end this thing. And I just stomped on his glasses.
Yeah.
They were my glasses.
Yeah.
I didn't even look. I was so confident. I just went, stomp. You know, and you guys as an audience got to experience that the way these kids in my neighborhood did. They all went from what an ass to, oh my God, what an ass. Now I have to go on the ground and I can't see anything. So I have to find my glasses and they're in 6 pieces. And now I have to walk all the way home 2 or 3 blocks and I'm not able to see anything and tell my mom that Ian stomped on my glasses. But that's only going to be in that book. Like, John Cena does not have a similar story.
Yeah, that's true. If you want that story, you got to read this book.
Yes, for sure.
Congrats on the book. It's fantastic. Thanks so much
for
being
dude.
Here. Brian Bolsonaro, be forever nerdy. It's available now.
I'm Eric Lederman. I'm producer on Late Night with Seth Meyers. I'm here with Brian Posehn.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you. You seem cool. Brian is a close friend of mine. We've known each other a long time now.
A long, long time.
I feel like, are we talking over 10 years at this point?
Dude, maybe. Way more.
Yeah.
When were you first living in LA? Was that?
I moved there in May 2001. And that's a good kickoff story of how like we met is real. I mean, talk about nerdy.
I felt like we should have gone on a date that first time we met.
Oh, for sure.
Because it was
sure.
Like other people thought we should know each other. Like, whenever you know a metalhead, most people don't like heavy metal.
Right.
And but they have like a metalhead friend.
Right.
And we were like some people's token metalhead friends. And when
1,000%.
The idea of putting us together, people were like, oh, they should meet. You guys should be friends.
Really
you
weird.
Guys like this thing we don't like.
Yeah. And
you both know what Iron Maiden is, right?
Oh, it's so
embarrassing.
It's guys
this, go off.
It's so embarrassing.
It's really, but that's
it's
how,
the only music
that's
how
that
we people, met. No, yeah, but no one bonds anyone over music. Like,
no, you're right.
Especially like
no,
your friends.
Well, yeah, well, no other style of music is like a brotherhood. You know?
Brotherhood.
No, it is.
You got to say it the right way when you say it.
Brother.
There you go.
But you just don't. The mumble rap brotherhood.
It's just not happening. Yo, you love classical music. He loves classical music. It doesn't work like that.
My two jazz friends. This will be buddies.
That's a great hookup. A layer deeper on that is that I would see you. You know, I moved to LA, and I knew one person when I moved to LA. Mm-hmm. And I went for a job, and I was like, well, obviously I'm going to go to shows because I was so psyched. It was like Sunset Strip, Rainbow, all that history. Right. I was very excited. So I went to all these shows, and I would see you, of course, and from one tall weirdo to another, I would see you, like, of course, standing in the back or just like beyond, you know, behind the periphery of the pit, because like that's where we feel safe.
Yeah.
It's like I'll be near it because I'm metal and I want to feel the energy, but I'm tall and don't trust my body,
right?
So I don't want to be in it because
if somebody hits
could
me low, I'm top heavy, I'm flipping over, a tea kettle. I'm just, I don't know if that makes sense.
That feeling though, I know that feeling, just being built wrong, and but you want to be in it. But I saw you at all these shows, and then you knew my sister. Like randomly, and it was just like that thing, like through work stuff and whatnot. And I'm just like, okay. And then I saw him, like, I think that's that comedian. I always see him. She's like, you should say hi to him. I'm like, oh my God.
Did Jill say that?
Yeah. It's like, you should introduce yourself. And that's the thing. But then.
Because she's like, my weird brother likes this weird dumb
he's your type.
Music. I know. I met this nerd at John Stewart in the 90s.
Right.
That's where me and Jill met. Yeah.
That's right.
I was a writer out here. Yeah.
Not even the, not Daily Show, just for our audience.
No,
the John Stewart show.
The old syndicated show.
Syndicated, that's right. But it was a real match made in heaven. So we met, and then we started just going to shows together.
Yes.
Not working together first.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man, I love metal.
What was the first? I couldn't tell you the first show.
Well, I definitely saw you at Halford
at
the House of Blues. And that was one of the shows where I was nervous because I was blocking. And this is for real. I was blocking someone's view.
Yeah.
And they were not. They're like, yo, you got to move. My girl can't see. And I'm like, what about me being able to see? I work for this spot.
And then you would just get behind them and go,
Yeah. And you don't argue because then
I'm
going to be in danger from this gentleman.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So then it's a love story from there. We saw lots of shows together, and we worked on, you brought me in to work on the Revolver Golden Gods shows, and we wrote a lot of stuff together. And it's just, and I'm glad we set up that for our audience so they can feel closer to us and know that this nice. Connection is genuine.
All right.
You were great tonight in the show, obviously.
Thanks, man.
I hope everyone is already watching. If you haven't, you should watch it. You've done a lot of time in Conan's show, and you really like a regular guest on Conan's show. So my question for you is, like, you know, obviously I've been here since the beginning and worked with Seth and watched him interview a lot of people and certainly watched Conan, but I really understand Seth's style and seen him interview everyone. How does it feel as a guest and a comic to sit with Seth, and how was that experience?
They're both super good at that job. That's a job I could never, ever do. I don't have any interest in what other people do. And to feign interest, well, not feign, but to actually, you know, get in and be listening and what's good.
Interested.
Interested.
People.
And he kept it conversational, Seth did. And, Conan's good at that too. But tonight was totally fun. Like, you get stressed in your head of like, I got to remember to tell these jokes the right way, but he kept it, you know, he kept it going. Like, even if I would have gotten off the track, it wouldn't have been weird because he would have like taken it for me.
Yeah,
you know,
for
I
sure.
I could tell that. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no doubt. But you're such a great talk show guest, and to see you up there, you know, I think it's always when comics do these shows, they always pepper in some of their material. But then I think, yeah, to your point, the key is to keep it conversational. And Seth really set you up for that. And you had a couple of killers.
Yeah. Well, one
that
of
were off the cuff that were awesome.
Well, one of my favorite things as a kid was to watch comedians I liked go on talk shows.
Yeah.
Because it would be different. But then it would also be, you know, their voice that you knew. But they're riffing, and then you were like, as a kid, I'd be like, how did he tell that story? Like, how did he work that story
so
out?
Or, effortlessly,
you know, yeah. And it just sounded like they were just talking. But now, you know, behind the scenes, you know, like a lot of times I'll do bits, but then,
for
like
sure.
you said, you know, embellish and make it fresh.
But that's your structure, and your structure kept you on target, but there was plenty of room.
Right.
And then we should also talk about...
Sorry, my stupid phone. It's my wife that you know.
No.
Checking in on me.
You know, when it happens once, like, definitely acknowledge
turn
it.
Turn my phone off.
No. When it happens a second time, don't put it on vibrate. Leave it on so it keeps happening. I think that's a great lesson for everyone, especially in an audio-only medium.
You son of a...
The other thing is,
doesn't even know how to turn his.
It's on the left side where it's always been since like the 3G.
I'm turning it off completely.
Oh, that's cool. I'll shut it down. I'm just gonna panic. Great. He's fine. No, this isn't in the future. Anyway, the other thing is when I was a nice surprise in the HE band tonight because during rehearsal, they wrote a pretty metally like Slayer like halftime riff is the way Seth Jabor described it, our guitar player, and. I think it really set the tone, you know. As
well,
you know,
we're I had music to guys. React because it sounded heavier than what they mostly play.
Absolutely. I think that set the tone for you to feel relaxed, and
absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
you came out. You had two or three horn flashes.
To throw the horns.
Oh my god!
To, like, you know.
Yeah,
you do it in traffic. You do it when you think when you don't even know you're doing it. Like I'll just find it's because Satan's in us.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We
I
let him
forget
in.
That.
We let him in when we were kids, and he's never going to leave us.
Oh, my rabbi was so disappointed.
He makes our hands form in the symbol of the horns. Somebody recently go, hey, do the Gene Simmons with me, and I wanted to like school them. I didn't because
really?
I just yeah, it was at one of my shows. And I just wanted to take the picture and keep on moving. But
they asked you for horns with the Gene Simmons?
He said, no, let's do the Gene Simmons.
Oh.
But the horns are not called the Gene Simmons.
No, it's tongue stuff. I mean, was it embarrassing?
Because like, he claimed, you know, Gene Simmons claims he made that up.
Oh, right.
Clearly Dio did. That's what this person was doing. They were like, hey, let's do
oh,
the
he was assigning Gene... ownership of the horns
yeah,
the wrong way.
Yeah, let's do the Gene Simmons.
Oh, I thought he was saying... Oh, it's
no.
the Gene Simmons, and then he did the horns, not knowing
just
the tongue.
Horns.
Okay, thank God.
But, you know, most people come up and go, hey, let's do the horns.
Yeah.
Like, I get that in photos all the time, or people that are more in, you know, they'll do, let's do Invisible Grapefruits, or, you know, that thing, the more death metal.
That's Campbell.
People. Yeah, yeah.
That's John Campbell yeah, from yeah. Lamb of God has mastered that.
Yeah, Spider Fingers with his
oh, man,
giant...
Spider Fingers.
Spider fingers.
Yeah, just those bass hands. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. the orb, right? The Invisible Grapefruits is such
yep.
the comic's take on,
well,
on the glowing
orange
orb.
Orange is small, but we're talking grapefruits. yeah. You got to extend.
He's really good at it. He's the king of that.
yeah, yeah.
Anytime also we get to mention like metal on like, you know, network television feels like a victory for me.
Right. Well, who's talked about Rush on this show lately?
like, right at the top,
not,
too.
Not that they're a metal band, but they're... No, they're another thing. They're their own thing.
They're their own thing, and I think that's a lot of things. Your fans probably forget about you too. Is that you're so metal, but like your foundation is prog rock and Rush. You know, like that's the thing, and that's the building block.
Right.
You know, for sure that you kind of live off of, and people forget that, and it's like, hey man, like Rush is heavy. Like I still think Rush is a heavy band.
Yeah.
Like it's just sonically, it's distortion is it's different. It's a cleaner tone. And,
right.
And tracks went out, but. I wonder if people kind of in denial a little bit about that. About you?
I think some people are.
Yeah. Well, like, did your wife like Rush? I forget how
she
this
does.
Is. She does, right?
She does, yeah, yeah.
Did she like Rush before you?
Yeah, well, she said a thing really early on where I was like, oh, great. She goes, all my boyfriends have been into Rush. And I'm like, great, all of my.
like, yeah. All of my friends that I had meaningful relationships with,
yeah,
my
yeah.
guy friends.
All the dudes that have been in here before.
you gross. You've got to you tell your wife, you've got a type. This is like, what?
Right.
A Rush type. Before we wrap up, tell everyone what you're up to in the next couple of months. Let's talk about where we can, what's your Instagram? Is it at Brian Posehn?
Yeah.
It is, right. Okay, and then yeah. tell us about your touring and what you got scheduled
and
for the new year.
Twitter is at the Brian Posehn.
Oh.
But then touring, not a ton in the new year. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a couple Big Bang Theories as they wind up, and then I have a new show that I did. Do you know my buddy Rick Remender? Have you ever met him?
I don't.
Comic book guy?
I don't.
But he wrote me into a show, Deadly Class, and it's going to be on Sci-Fi Network.
Oh, cool.
And they did 8 episodes, and I'm in 5 of them. And like the comic book that it's based on, it's funny, it has funny parts, but it's really brutal. It's like about an assassin's academy for kids, for
oh,
teenagers,
cool.
with like this private school where kids are becoming assassins.
That's good.
And
that's
it's
good
really
is it a
cool.
newer book?
No, last couple of years.
Oh,
he's probably written maybe 100 issues by now, but not that high. But he's up there. But anyway, he put me into the show, and that's coming up.
What's
and
your character?
It takes place in the 80s, so he's an old. Everybody
are you getting into
metal.
Character? Tell me about your character.
Yeah, no, it's he's an 80s dirtbag that lives in San Francisco. He's wearing a Judas Priest shirt, and the first time you see him, so it was like, oh, I know this dude.
Isn't it kind of awesome to be cast in those roles? A lot of people are like, I'm sick of being. You know, Rachel Brosnahan was talking about like understandably so. She's like, oh, I'm being cast as like a hooker or like with a shady past. And that's why she loves her role in Mrs. Maisel, where she's like, you know, bright and chatty and beautiful. And like, but you like, I think it's not, you're like,
and
oh,
I like
to be
when
the metal
they put a wig
bag
on it. Yeah, like, I love when I show up and there's a wig and like an old Anthrax t-shirt. I'm yes, like, great, I know yes, this dude. Awesome. I can do this. Like, let me just do that guy.
Like, I don't need to push like my,
yeah, like, because I'm a nerd, but I'm also, you know me, I'm more of a metalhead. So
of
like,
of course. But well, also, you know, you're a comedic actor, though. You're a comedic
some
character
of the parts
too.
I play, like, I don't know shit about geology, but you put me in a
you've done some science
t-shirt,
smart guy stuff, though.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, on Big Bang Theory, I'm supposed to be the geologist, but I feel more at home when you put me in an old t-shirt, you know.
You're so f-ing real, dude. Man, that's awesome.
I
all right, and
your
then
face.
So, and now tell me if I agree. Wait, and then so tell us about the record, and then we'll get out of here.
So the record's called Grandpa Metal by Posehn.
Uh-huh.
Posehn's the band, but, you know, it's really... I've done metal songs over the years, as you know. You've played with me.
And, sure have.
The first one was Metal by Numbers,
uh-huh,
and then I did More Metal Than You, and it's along the lines, I wanted to do like a full metal comedy record for a long time, and it's taken a long time. We've taken 5 years to make this
record.
Yeah,
we've been talking about this for a long time.
And we're calling it the Chinese Democracy of Heavy Metal Comedy Records.
That's awesome.
And
5 years to make? I mean, in a comedy
really
record, that is that's a lifetime.
It's stupid, but it took that long because there's a bunch of people involved, and, you know, it's nailing Scott Ian down and myself to get where we rarely see each other, let alone can get together and work.
Because you guys all have stupid kids.
Yeah, that's
way to
part
go
of it that slowed us down, man.
Ugh.
But I love our stupid kids.
Good save.
But so just took that, and then it took, you know, other guys like Brendan Small and Joe Troman, who, you know,
of course,
stepping
Joe
in
Troman
and writing
from
stuff
Fall Out
with
Boy
me. Yeah. And,
isn't Jill on it? Did Jill do anything on it?
Jill Janis did, yeah, our friend who unfortunately, yeah,
and
isn't
passed
with us. Singer for Huntress, did two songs.
Yeah, so those will be on, right?
Did Take On Me.
Oh, wow.
We did a thrash metal cover of Take On Me with me, singer for Exodus, Sousa, and Chuck Billy. And
all
her.
Right. Oh, I can't wait.
And then there's she and I did an original together called Goblin Love, and it was about two goblins falling in love on a dating website.
Well, you heard it all. What was that on Stern? He goes, yeah, you said it all. We got it all in.
Thanks, dude.
All right, let's go get something to eat.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. And thanks to everyone for listening to Late Night.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, man. It's the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast. Be sure to download it if you haven't already. Like every week when it comes out. It comes out twice a week. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Bye, Brian.
Bye, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.